Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Evasion Wrap-Up Podcast for Episode 7. I am Brian Cohen. With me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing well, although my bar is pretty low. Like, I'm showered, so I feel like that is the best I've been all week.
Well, that does nothing for an audio podcast, but I appreciate the smell, I guess.
It has nothing to do with that. It's more just like the general understanding of where I'm at.
Getting yourself a peace of mind a little bit.
Yeah. One thing I do want to say, I'm trying to pull up something, is I am honestly shocked by how little of a negative reaction I got for my outburst last week. So thank you, everyone, for just bearing with me through that.
I think people appreciate other people getting shit on. Because it's not them getting shit on, so they can just point and laugh at other people getting shit on.
Yeah, ironically, I did say to myself, like, all right, if I only cause us to get 5 one-star reviews or fewer, it will have been worth it. And ironically, nobody gave me shit. Well, I'm checking now because, like, who knows? But nobody really gave me shit except for the person that I just made, like, an off comment, like, an offhand negative reaction to, because he had previously said that I had a tone that now I've learned to change, which is just like, maybe you've gotten used to it. So I thought, I just thought if anyone listens to this podcast, then they could take a joke. But you're not here, audience, to take jokes from me. So I do actually apologize for that.
And look, it's not like you put potato chips underneath the person's mattress. So you didn't go that far.
Oh, I cannot wait to get into the toilet seat setting sail, like the Moses in the basket of the toilet seat incident. Yeah, so just from the corrections department to myself, I will not be mean to you guys. I will only be mean to myself and the people on television.
I mean, plus, this is what, like, I think we're at like 95, 96 episodes, plus you've done other stuff. So you've probably been on a podcast over 100 times now. So people should know who you are at this point. So this is what you get.
It's honestly like a compliment. Like, if I'm nice to you, it means I think there's something wrong with you and you can't handle it. So like, if I'm being nice, it's like internally the meanest thing I could possibly do. Like, if I'm giving you shit, it's a compliment.
I always say that to people. If I ever get mean with someone, I'm like, if I'm not mean to you, that means either A, I don't like you, or you have nothing important in my life. Me making fun of you is like, oh, you're like a cool person.
I award you no points and may God have mercy on your soul.
See, you're my best friend.
Who's the person who counted our episodes? That is like absurd that I have not shouted them out before.
I know. I can try to pull it up. It was like, I think we asked for it like 2 or 3 episodes ago, and that's when they commented on it. Let me see if I can find it.
I'm trying to load Disquiz. Anyway, no one cares. Well, we'll
but when
find
they
you,
commented,
we,
they said,
thank you.
Yeah, they said 92, and that was like, I think, 3 episodes ago.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, we've both had subs a couple of times.
Right.
Whatever that means. Oh, here, Megan. It's Megan, who said that our first episode was June 8th, 2014, which is absurd.
It's so absurd. That's crazy. We're almost, I wonder if the, probably not. I was wondering if the new season would be during June and we would actually podcast 3 years on our anniversary.
Well, we could do a special show where we get on for 2 seconds, congratulate ourselves, really just like applaud each other and then get off.
We should rewatch that episode and do another podcast about it.
Yo, that's actually kind of funny, but nobody would care about that. I wouldn't even care about it. We could do a re-listen to our first episode and then just shit on ourselves.
We could do like what do they do on DVDs where we play it in the background and then we make comments on it. So what would like the audio commentary of a podcast, which would be wild.
Have I mentioned this before that I like canceled a date to do our first podcast with Rob?
I vaguely remember this. I do vaguely remember
I might have like told you. I don't know if I told the world, but it's just like honestly incredible that, I mean, look, the podcast is still in my life. That fool isn't. It was like an early date, but it was just hilarious that I was like, I reevaluate my life so many times now. I should have. That was a red flag from the beginning.
If you're going to be with Allie, you got to know. Sometimes dates are going to get canceled for podcasts.
Yo, that's the real talk. Anyway, enough about me. I guess she said 19 days ago, we had 91 episodes, either just us, just you, or just me, or a combination of both. Okay. Does not include the Are You the One recaps that Adam and I did, and doesn't include any other shows we may have been on.
Right. Okay. So.
Yeah, I've definitely rounded the bases of 100, but I may be hitting like 110.
There you go.
Boom. So suck it. And this may be my last podcast. okay, so while we're here, and by here I mean in the iTunes review page.
Oh, because I didn't know where we were, so I didn't know what you were going with. But okay,
I'm a decent tour guide. Like, I will just take you places you don't want to be, but I'll let you know when we get there. So Clown with an E, thank you. Instant 2 Legend, Oriah M, Izzy 6386, Challenge Fan 96081. That's some dedication to have your review name be Challenge Fan, so thank you. And then I think best Parksy 111 is new. So thank you all for your reviews. I'm overwhelmed because I really expected to just like take some heat. So I'm glad I didn't have to.
Have some faith. Have ye faith.
Pray for me. Anyway, if you want to give us reviews or tell me that I made fun of you and you're upset about it and hear me almost sincerely apologize, you can give us your feedback as Rob at robhaswebsite.com/challengeiTunes.
Or let us know if anyone else has canceled the date to listen to a podcast.
You know what? Fair. I've been asked a lot of times by other podcasters getting into the game, like, how do you tell people about this? And it's like very interesting. I actually think I talked to Rob about that when I did voicemails since I got to law school. But like, how you disclose your fandom, like even the listeners, how you disclose that you listen to this shit, like that could be a deal breaker if said the wrong way.
What is it worse to have to disclose that you watch and listen, or watch and podcast? It's gotta be watching podcast, right?
You know, I don't know, because I've done both before. I got to disclose everything. I don't know. I think it's tough either way. It's definitely tough either way. I've never had an issue with it, except for the guy I canceled a date with. Like, he definitely wasn't that into it.
Because if you say you watch it, it's like your hobby. Oh, my hobby is I podcast. But if you watch and listen, it's like, I don't know. But I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff, but I don't know.
Funny you should say that. I texted my friend while watching the challenge because I like he was like trying to say something after class and I like hightailed it and I was like, sorry, had to go watch the show and podcast. And I was like, I am now watching like a montage of puke. And he said something like, I don't understand your passions. And I was like, oh my God, please don't call this a passion.
This is our form of woodworking.
This is our cross to bear.
Yep. We always say we're going to put up polls like after this airs, and we never do, but I'm going to put up a poll about which is worse, having to disclose that you listen to a podcast about a trashy reality show or that you do a podcast about a trashy reality show.
We are best suited to answer that. A lot of people are not. There's maybe like 15 people who could answer
but
that.
We can't answer, so I have to outsource it.
All right, gun to your head, or water gun wielded by Hunter to your head. What's worse?
I think podcasting.
I feel like people are like, ooh, you podcast. Like, people think it's cool because they don't know.
I agree. But then you say you're podcasting about the MTV show The Challenge. You're like, wait, that's still on? That's MTV still a thing? And then you go, yeah, it's still a thing. It's still going. It's still the same people. Da, 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 da.
Well, see, I have the ultimate spin technique that you don't have, because if you tell your podcast origin story, it's terrible.
My story, I upload stuff to YouTube. That makes me sound like a lunatic.
Yeah, your story is actually insane. My story is, well, I had a professor in college that kind of introduced me to this person who's been on the show, who has this really successful network, and then one thing led to the other, and I ended up with my own show, but he gave me this. Like, I just go right through the Northwestern channels and make this sound like it's semi-legitimate and hope that they don't listen to it.
Yeah, me, I was one night bored. I was DMing Avery about getting an interview, and then that's how it started. So it makes me sound like a creep.
Slid into Avery's DMs.
I slid into Avery DMs like 3 years ago, and that's how it all started.
And here we are. Okay, so enough self-congratulating. I'm shocked that you let me and you let us both go 9 minutes and 36 seconds before you talked about the trip to the bar.
You know, it's something that it's because I want it. It was so great to have. It's like it's like opening presents on Christmas. You don't want to just rush through it. You want to take it slow so you can enjoy it. And now we can enjoy our first club scene with Shane going shirtless and CT feeling like he's 55 years old.
That's anti-Semitic because it's not my shared experience, Brian.
Can I be, if I'm Jewish, can it be anti-Semitic?
Talk to Ruxin on the league. I don't know.
But yes, Shane. Shane is ready to party. So is everyone else at the club.
Yeah, how long before you get to a club is your shirt come off? I thought it was a little early.
You would hope he's at least like 6-7 drinks in before the shirt's coming off. But it seemed like he was like one shot deep and boom.
Yeah, I mean, if you got it flaunted, I don't really know what Shane's bod looks like, but I imagine like a guy with a not a nice bod is not ripping his shirt off at the club.
No, that's why my shirt stays on.
What do you think of the one smidge of humility Banana showed towards Darrell?
It was I thought it was pretty cool to see. It was like the king kind of bring understanding. He kind of got a little bit lucky that Darrell went away and some of the other people went away, and he's kind of embracing where the future of the challenge is or where the past of the challenge was.
Do you think we are going to see them go head to head, or do you think we're going to get like an E2 Brutus moment where Bananas, I mean, he doesn't really have that much flexibility with the format we currently have. But do you think this is actually Bananas' goal, or if he has the opportunity, he'll try to cut him out?
It's weird because if this was a normal show, you would be like, oh, if they're showing this and it has to be, you know, setting up their eventual elimination against each other. But this is like this could mean absolutely nothing come next week, because that's just what MTV does. They have really no story arcs for outside of like the major things. Everything else is just kind of like, oh, let's just throw this and this is a cool thing. Let's throw this and this is a cool thing. Like, I would think it would mean something, but it could easily be nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Bananas has got to be. This is coming fresh off the heels of watching Darrell take down Zach. Like, this has got to be creeping up on Bananas of like, I don't know, mate. I don't know that I'm really the best. Like, I don't know if I could really beat Darrell if push came to shove.
Yeah, I'm sure that shook him seeing Darrell beat Zach, although maybe beating Zach is not the most amazing thing, but still very impressive.
I love Daddy CT at the club, and I never say the word daddy, but this was like just Papa CT at the club. I loved it.
It was hysterical. Him talking about he's going to blow out a hamstring with it was, oh my God, this version is, I think this CT is actually my favorite CT, even more than Smashing Head CT.
It's really, that's a real apples and oranges situation here, but I do like this one. I feel like DM CT is my favorite, like DM, you're beautiful, I'll kiss you if you take off your wig, CT is still my favorite, but this is a close second.
Yeah. He's so likable right now. It's unbelievable how likable CT is.
Is it unbelievable? When's the last time he was unlikable?
I mean,
like,
I'm sure
many years ago.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think he's just universal. I think there were probably some people who found him either like abrasive or annoying or like a womanizer. Now it's like, oh, he's just CT. He's been through so much. I'm happy he has happiness.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like CT's got to be universally beloved with anyone who's been watching the last 5 years, but maybe I've had my head in the sand with CT.
I don't know. Could be.
I don't think so, but it's, and then we get the payoff of Corey and Camilla here, if you can call it a payoff.
Yeah. Camilla wanted to get a little better air conditioner. So stay close to Corey.
When's the last time we've seen Camilla OTP?
I'm an oldie.
Are you pausing because you don't know what OTP is, or because you don't know?
I feel like Daddy CT. What does that mean?
On the prowl.
Oh.
OTP. You down with OTP?
I thought that was like a Big Brother thing. I don't know what was going on.
Nah, that's OTT.
That's what I was. Yeah. Who was the last person Camilla hooked up with? I don't know.
I feel like it was Bananas, but in secret. I don't know that we've seen like Camilla making hard moves. Like, I want to make out with you.
Yeah.
So subtle.
Yeah, good for her. She's on the market making moves. And Corey is just like, he's racking up the X's possibilities. Yeah. Like, every year he picks up like three more.
And he never, not never, but most of them are formidable, like, competitors.
Yeah, good for him. He'll have either committee. It could be a season of just, like, Corey's X's. They could have Corey's X's versus Tony's kids.
I hate how Corey's like, Camilla looks good this season, as though she's looked like absolute trash every other season.
Right. I mean, she does look really good this season. I don't know. She didn't look good last season, but she does look really good this season.
Yeah, I feel like she's always looked good.
Yeah.
All right. Here's something I've been dying for the last 15 minutes since I watched the episode to talk to you about. But had I watched yesterday, I would have been dying for 24 hours to talk to you about this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still believe the Bruno Jenna thing when we get a scene here, literally watching how Amanda, Sylvia, and Ashley just make things up?
No, I don't think I ever believed it.
No, you said that.
I was on Jenna's side.
Am I confusing you with myself?
Could be.
You said that there wasn't completely untrue, that like they didn't just make it up out of thin air.
I think I was on my girl's Jenna's side. Corrections department.
In fairness, you might be right, but you've done this to me before where you say the complete opposite thing the next episode, and I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone.
When I hang up with you, what I say kind of goes into the thin air. So I don't know. Maybe I doubted it for a little bit, but I really thought I was on genocide. But regardless, yes. Now it's not true. They're sociopaths, these three.
This was really crazy. Like, I joked in the past, I forget which episode, if it was this or the one that like you've just like completely like cut my head in half and seen completely into my brain. Like, that's how I felt watching them. Like, oh my God, I can see the wheels turning of how they convince themselves of this complete nonsense.
Yeah, this is Ashley to a T. She does this all the time of just creating absolute nothingness and twisting it and making it all about her. Okay, one of the clip from last year when she was yelling at Nicole for hooking up with Cuz. Like, that was incredible.
With Cuz.
Like, out of nowhere, she's like, get out of here, you hooked up with him. And it's like, nope, no, I didn't. But this is Ashley. She's a lunatic.
I would even peg this more on Amanda. Because, I mean, they weren't wrong to question Shane's, like, quote-unquote loyalties, whatever that means in this season. But it's based off of, like, a conversation Amanda just sees him having with Nicole and starts being like, we have to find out what that conversation is. Like, we have to hear what this is. And then everybody's wheels just start turning.
I was waiting for the spy shack to make an appearance.
Yeah, right. That was, like, the spy bunk bed.
Right.
Forget bunker.
But they're great. I mean, look at Shane. Shane's making interesting moves. Like, he's trying to play the game in a way that a lot of people who are new to the show don't do. And I enjoy it.
Yeah, sorry, I got distracted because now I'm trying to go through my old notes to find this Bruno thing out because it's really bothering me. So I'm going to pretend I heard what you said.
It wasn't that great. It's okay. We can jump to the challenge.
All right, perfect. Have you noticed this? Has it always said TJ Lavin, BMX legend?
I think that's, I feel like they rotate it. Sometimes they just say like the challenge host, and sometimes they show BMX legend, and sometimes they show like ex BMX skater. Like, I feel like they mix up his titles.
It's like Debbie's, Debbie's jobs.
Yeah, Debbie's Rolodex of jobs.
All right. So, I am upset in this challenge that we never found out like a true description of what this curry was like.
Yeah, they didn't give the full recipe. It was just curry, just spicy and spicier.
Padma says on Top Chef in like interviews, she said, it's really hard because our job is like we have to describe the food so that like the audience feels like they can taste it, or like that our judgments are valid because they feel like they know what the food was like. I was like, we got CT making some like a semi smarmy sarcastic like, oh, grab me another bowl. Sylvia says that it's not like warm hot sauce, but nobody's giving us like a description of the spice level on this at all. Like, was it more Durrell, like just standard curry I could get at a restaurant? Or was this like just a vat of lukewarm, like chili peppers? Not chili peppers curry, but you know what I'm saying? Like a heat equivalent.
I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not a curry. I'm not a spice guy. So I would be in deep shit with this challenge.
Literally, probably.
Yeah, very, very literally.
I like spice, but I don't want to underestimate that every single person was like vomiting terribly. So I don't want to be like, oh, I could do this, no problem.
And the colored vomit too, to make it even more of a perfect taste.
The slow-mo of Sylvia voiding like an entire Kids' Choice Award amount of slime was like the most disgusting thing I've ever seen on this show.
Yeah, they really love their slow-mo cameras, and they make sure they use it no matter the circumstances.
Are there people who like seeing this? Like, do you like seeing this vomit stuff?
No, not really. I mean, I like that they do these challenges that kind of like tease the finals, kind of like see what we're going to get. But I mean, I don't like, no one, you have to be a real sick person in the head to like see people throw up.
Yeah, well, who said that before they started the challenge? Somebody was like, I'm looking forward to seeing people vomit.
I think Camilla said it in a weird way. Yeah. But that kind of fits the description of what I just said, so.
Yeah, true. The other thing is like the quantity of the liquid, like to chug a bowl of liquid more than like two bowls plus if you're Shane and then run 3 miles, like
right.
Recipe for vomit disaster, tour de vomzia.
I think giving them the straw helped a lot. I think having to pour that into your mouth is a lot harder than just using a straw and sucking it all up.
I totally agree from like a logistics of the drinking standpoint, but in terms of an aftermath thing, don't straws like make you gassier or something? Like they give more air with it. Like I think that like increased the curry effects.
Oh, well, I my guess is they were going to be screwed anyway, so they probably just would rather just get it down as quickly as possible and then have future them deal with that problem.
Be fair. What did you think about the challengers having to take on more bowls, the same amount of bowls with only 6 people?
I didn't have a problem with it. I think that's probably fair. So they're each drinking the same amount. What about you?
I don't like these arbitrary like adjustments made for fairness sake. Like, yes, it's okay because you can have your like best. Like, I originally thought that every underdog had to finish a bowl, so the challengers, while at a disadvantage, can put like their strongest stomach up to drink more. But it seems like that wasn't even the rule. So that wasn't an advantage. But when you only have, it's like one thing when you have to carry more weight based on your weight. But there's nothing about the ability of the challenge of the champions that like easily equates to how much soup they should be able to take in. You know what I'm saying? Like it just seemed like arbitrary. Okay, well, you're going to have to finish just as much soup. I mean, they still won handily, but mm-hmm. I just am kind of getting sick of these arbitrary measurements of, let's even it out. Let's give you less players. Let's give you more. I don't know. I'm just like kind of getting sick of it.
That, I mean, that's totally fair. I get that. I think it does with this current setup. I think they kind of just have to do that, because if they didn't do that, then they'd be like, oh, is it fair that they each had to drink less than, you know, total amount than the other team? But I didn't understand the rule. You mentioned it about, can you help out? I thought you couldn't help out, but Shane said he was drinking other people's curry.
Yeah, so I don't know why, but like clearly they could. Like that wasn't clear to me either until, I mean, we get the confessional of Jenna saying like he basically drank everyone's soup.
Yeah, I could have sworn CJ say each person has to drink every drop of their bowl. I could have sworn he said that.
Yeah, he did say that, but who cares? Yeah, I was with you. I was very confused. The other thing though is like the last challenge, the challenger, when it was their elimination, they didn't have any disadvantage. If anything, they had an advantage because they could play their best team twice.
Right. I'm hoping they dissolve teams very soon. They need to.
Which is like the clear understanding of what's going to happen, right? Someone tweet that at us?
Yeah. Based on like the Wikipedia, it seems like at a certain point it goes to individual. But unclear from when. Or at least how. But more on the challenge. Wendy Jong said, even though he's an underdog, I think Shane's experience helped him a lot on this challenge. He's been on this show enough to know that you just have to ingest the food. It doesn't matter if it comes back up. So while it was taking his teammates a lot longer to consume the soup, he was just slurping it and throwing it right back up. And they showed us plenty of shots of that.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I don't think that wasn't clear to everyone else. I just think they're less, you know, everybody's got to do, like, to me, like, throwing up isn't just, like, easy. Like, oh, yeah, I'll just slurp it up and throw it up. Like, that's an extremely unpleasant experience. I didn't love... I'm curious to know what you think of Shane's motivation tactics.
Yeah, it was very Zach and Frank-esque, right? Yelling at everyone, like, come on, stop sucking, let's go, pick it up. It wasn't very, you know, I believe in you.
Stop sucking and start sucking.
Yeah, it was odd. It was not what I was expecting from Shane. It was kind of more of what you would expect from, yeah, like a Zach.
Yeah, I thought it was so freaking annoying, especially the self-congratulatory stuff. When it's one thing when he's like, come on, guys, it's delicious, whatever. That's annoying enough. But then when he's like really patting himself on the back for drinking more soup, like let other people acknowledge your achievements. Like when you're rubbing it in their face, it undoes all the goodwill you did by helping them.
Yeah, I can't imagine people were appreciative of being yelled at while they're dying and puking up green fluids from their entire body. That's not a pleasurable experience.
Does someone want to carry my extra piece? Because I did two bowls. I did two. You can't even do one. Like, why are you? It's like Nicole had the perfect reaction to this. Of like, we see you. We hear you. This is a team.
Yeah. Stephen Leanne said, was it just me or was he annoying AF all while doing it? Yep. So we have another backer.
It's not just you.
It's not just you.
A couple of things that were unclear that came through Twitter. I have not been good or been able to be good about keeping up with the Twitter. So I've tried this podcast to incorporate some stuff that the challengers at least were saying. So Amanda said on Twitter that they were disqualified 10 minutes because of Nicole and Jenna. We were so close, as she says. And Nicole says, it was def not 10 minutes. Let's see the facts. That was a 5-minute penalty. And some people walked or threw up. That had us behind. No names. But I mean, like, it seems unclear. Like, if Nicole and Jenna each got a 5-minute penalty, then Amanda's not wrong that it was 10 minutes.
Right. But what were they disqualified? What did they do wrong?
Jenna also tweeted something that, like, she had one drop left and then they gave her, like, an entire new bowl. Like, I was under the impression that they did a check. And, like, if a producer checked and said you weren't good, you could just finish. I don't know if they were under some sort of pressure where, like, if they claimed they were done and weren't, they got disqualified. Another episode of MTV, another challenge on the challenge that goes unanswered.
That's very bizarre. Very bizarre. Usually they show that type of stuff with, like, time penalties and everything like that.
Yeah, I don't know if they want to make it, like, the champions are just, like, whooping them mm-hmm. or what. But, I mean, I don't know if the rules just made no sense, so they don't want to explain it.
So speaking of rules that make no sense, what did you make of how they decided who was immune? Which I guess now is officially a thing of, you know, when this type of thing, as opposed to the first time they did this. But that... it was the first person who ran down the last 3 miles. Guy and girl were free.
Which, by the way, I'm not even clear if the whole thing was 3 miles or if each station was 3 miles. I tend to think the whole thing is a 3 mile race, like a circuit.
Oh, that could be it. Okay,
but I don't know because I don't run and I don't know distance and I don't know anything. So, and I'm choking.
Yeah, that's like me.
I would say, did you enjoy the Swallowed the Fly song?
I did.
Thank you to everyone who sent that to us.
I did.
I think you probably had a better childhood for not knowing that song.
So. It sounds like a very depressing song that you sing to, like, 3-year-olds.
Anyway, yeah, that's up for debate, but... what was the question? Oh, yeah. I was excited when I first heard it because I thought a choice was involved of, like, do you finish your bowl and split? Or do you finish your bowl and help other people? Mm-hmm. So, like, is it a race to the finish when you're done? Like, you have to just clear one bowl, whereas, like, Shane could have finished his bowl and then screwed the rest of his team out of the money. But once I learned that it was just a sprint from when everybody finished, I mean, that's so boring.
Absolute bullcrap. I thought the same exact thing as you, that, like, oh, when you're done, you could just go. But no, that's not it at all, which makes no sense. Because then the drinking of the food adds nothing to who decides who wins. Because if you're all going at the same time, then who cares?
Like, it would have just been amazing if you, let's just say you couldn't, because it looked like you could start the puzzle when just the first few people were there. But, like, let's say you can't start the puzzle until everybody's there. But you can leave and get there and win immunity as soon as you finish your bowl. But you can also stay and help your team. So imagine, like, the first, like, let's say 5 or 6 finishers, the strongest people, sprint up after one bowl. And then you can see a situation where, like, they can never even start the puzzle because the weaker eaters are behind and nobody can finish. Like, that to me would have been much more interesting than... what did
happen. Of
course,
and then that creates drama of, oh, like, you cost us this win just so you can save yourself this week, but we'll just vote you in next week. Yeah, I don't know why they made it this way. That it takes away all the drama and it just makes it a straight foot race, which is perhaps the most boring thing in the world to watch.
And then we could have seen Shane say, like, I could have won and I stayed behind and I ate 5,000 bowls and nobody gives a shit right. Anyway.
Exactly. Very, very poor, very poor choice.
What do you think? A couple of things occur at the end of this. The champs win handily. Is it handedly or handedly?
Handedly.
I'll just stop saying it.
Easily.
And Hunter and Nicole win for the team. The stupid Hunter, roid rage, the theme of his life. I'm curious to know from you what you think of Shane's method of going to the winner, knowing, like, I think Shane has his eye on the game more than any other underdog, knowing that Nicole's on the other side of his alliance and starting to, like, make deals right there.
I think it makes sense because from what we've seen, you always have to you make your decision right then and there. So if you don't talk to Nicole at that moment, she may just be like, all right, I'm voting in Shane, and then you're fucked. Here, if you make a deal right immediately, then at least you save yourself from that immediate vote, and then you deal with the aftermath for the House vote when that comes. But you got to save yourself one thing at a time.
And it doesn't open you up to, you know, the other school of thought is like, all right, make those deals with people before the challenge in the House. But it opens you up to you getting exposed sooner. So this was like shades of Michelle and Hannah for anyone who watches Survivor, and whoever, one who doesn't, I recommend it. Where like at Tribal, you're telling them to switch the vote right there. Don't ask questions. Trust me. Switch your vote. Like, it leaves no room for exposure, no room for second guessing. And then you're the last person in their ear. So like Nicole is exhausted, vomiting, on fire. And then she has to make a vote and she's like, oh, well, Shane just talked to me. Okay. Like you. I thought that was really, really smart.
Shane's been playing one of the best strategic games in the House of, in terms of at least trying to be. Like, some of it hasn't always worked, but it, like, the thought and the reason is there. So good job by him.
Yeah. And even I tend to think that this whole Shane's a flip-flopper, I can't trust him, like all of this that led to him almost getting voted in was probably made worse by the editing than it really was.
Probably. I would think so, but they did mention it at the nomination, like, oh, you did, like, a, they told Daria, like, oh, you did a good job almost getting us to vote Shane. I don't know if that could have been sarcasm. I don't know. Could have been, but sarcasm.
Been what?
I was going to say sarcastic.
Sarcasm.
I was going to say sarcastic, and then I wasn't sure if that was the correct tense to use at the moment, so I kind of just combined them all at the once, so it didn't work out.
I love it. No, I mean, I don't think it didn't happen, but I don't think they ever really were going to do it. You know, if they were going to do it, they should have done it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nothing changed. I do think it doesn't bode well for Shane down the line, but I don't know how much longer he needs. I mean, this, whether or not they get broken up into individuals or whatever, like, this alliance can't last forever. The numbers are starting to dwindle. And he's pretty cushioned by his connections with the other side. So I thought this was great play. I may be underselling how close he was to going in because I was really distracted by the bomb ass chicken tender party that was happening.
The what party? Oh, the catering?
So I have a friend who goes to Michigan with me that coincidentally also went to Northwestern with me in undergrad, who in his fraternity in undergrad, anytime chicken tenders were served, the guy would put on the menu as chicken tender party. And we've now, since I basically live in a dorm, do the same thing. Anytime there's chicken tenders, like chicken tender party. And I saw that tray of glorious chicken tenders and I wanted to like put on a party hat and dance.
That barbecue sauce.
So I don't know what they were talking about.
Ketchup
with Shane.
And mayo. Ketchup and mayo. The McNuggets song? No?
Literally, I can't stand mayonnaise, and having your voice in my ear slow singing mayo was like the worst thing that ever happened to me. Bring the vomit back on. I'd rather watch Sylvia slow-mo vomit for like 10 hours.
Oh my God, that is harsh.
Yeah, I really don't like it. I really did not enjoy that, and I'm sorry to the listeners who also feel the same as me and have already
turned
this off.
The McNuggets song is great. They love it.
Not when you sing it in like that slow way. That was so creepy. Oh, okay. That really just ruined my whole week. Oh, I'm gonna cry. Okay. Oh, that was horrendous.
So back in the house. Oh.
I like literally just threw my computer. I don't even have my notes. No, I'm just like so sick of Amanda. I don't know why. Like, I just,
because she's a sociopathic liar.
Like, don't care about anyone but yourself. What's it? You shouldn't care about anyone but yourself, Amanda. Like, these people aren't your life.
She's always big on saying, like, oh, what, you're going to become friends with people you just meet in, like, 3 days? She says that all the time, but then when it goes against her, it's, oh, you're only out in it for yourself. Well, yeah, so are you.
It was bizarre. I mean, the thought process here, to me, would make no sense for that. I think they came to the same conclusion. But if you get rid of Shane here, I mean, better the devil you know. You know that Shane has no reason to flip now. because you're still the majority. So why let Shane make his weasel deals and not get put in, whatever. You will always be able to throw him in. And it's just like he has no incentive to flip right now to be the bottom of a minority alliance. So I don't know why this even almost worked on them, if that even happened.
I mean, I guess the only thing that would make sense is you just at a certain point, it probably does make sense to align yourself with the best competitors. And if you can align yourself with Nicole, I think it's you want to be on her side. So I can understand that.
For
everyone, like whoever, if you're on the opposite side of Nicole, especially if you're Shane or Dario or whoever, like it just makes sense to try to be on Nicole's good side. Cause she's probably going to be in the position of power a lot.
Right. So I'm not talking about Shane here. I'm talking about his alliance, like whether or not they should have voted in Shane.
No, I'm
in
just
Dario.
Saying for Shane's perspective of why, like they shouldn't be so pissed at him for trying to get on Nicole's good side. Cause it just makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I can understand why they're pissed, though. They're pissed because they didn't think of it. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? They're pissed that somebody's doing that. I'm just saying I'm glad that they didn't see, like, their rage towards him as a reason to get him out, because it would make no sense for him to actually flip and vote mm-hmm. with her. Like, yes, he's getting protection, but he has no incentive to actually flip and vote with the minority.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I wouldn't understand why the alliance would turn on Shane in that respect, especially without having carved out a deal with them. Like it would be one thing if Ashley, whatever, Amanda went to Nicole and said, "We're going to vote out Shane. I'm going to be the one making this move if you and I move forward working
Plus,
together."
If you're still thinking this is a full team aspect, I would much rather have Shane battling with me than Dara. Like if Shane's with his experience has clearly shown to be a very strong player, and it he understands how these challenges work. So I would much rather have him going forward.
Yeah, I will. It's hard because do they really? It's hard to know what they're thinking the future is going to hold based on their inability to let go of these alliances. It does make me think they have an inkling that it's not going to be teams for long.
I would hope they're discussing that, at least playing into their mindset of what they're deciding up, but who knows with them? I don't know. I don't know if they even really knew that more, like the champs were going to come in. Like, I don't know how far they think ahead.
I think they did. I think they knew just socially, and who knows, like Bananas is probably in their ear. CT could be in their ears. Like, this is what happens, you know, like obviously they're not going to show that, but I don't think anything's going to like come as a true surprise ever on any of these shows.
Probably true. Probably. Yeah. So should we talk about,
all right,
Prankgate?
Yeah, we got to talk about the toilet seat. That was maybe one of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV.
Absolutely absurd. To see a reaction like that over a floating toilet seat, I mean, it feels like did she, like, lose, like, her child on that toilet seat? Like, what? There had to have been something else causing her, Ashley, to flip out like that.
I never know if that works, but I did this with Ari the One. Like when something so ridiculous happens, I take a video of it and Snapchat it to a couple people here. And it's just like, it was too fun. Like literally, I've been sick and you let them take the only thing I had to make me feel better. It's a fucking toilet seat and you can use any toilet in the house. Can you not?
Did I hear this correctly? Did she say she's been on the toilet 80% of the time she's been here? That was the quote, right?
Yeah, she did say on Twitter that, like, she's, like, emaciated if you look. Like, that she's, like, been violently ill. Like, it's not just the curry.
I mean, these are just, I guess it's just the one bathroom she's allowed to use. It's very weird.
I totally get overreacting, but Kara was right here, ironically enough, that, like, you really do have to just laugh or it'll only get worse.
Yeah, and Kara knows from experience from what not laughing about pranks will get you.
So I know that you can't see this because update, are you still blocked?
Oh, from Kara? Probably, let's see.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Well, in the meantime, Amanda said, Kara Maria, but yet it wasn't funny when Wes poured Coke all over you, right? Ha ha, hypocritical ass bitch, hashtag challenge invasion. I can't read most of Ashley's Amanda's tweets on there, so just heads up there. Kara wrote, can everyone recognize the difference of camp pranks and actual name calling / pouring soda on one's head and saying you hope their animal dies? And then she said, I didn't realize hashtag Chipgate made you underdogs so damn thirsty. At Weston Bergman, would you kindly pass me the soda, wink face? And that pisses me off. It's like, pick a side, Cara. Are you saying it's different or are you in on the joke?
Because she, first off, yes, I am still blocked. And second, because this is Cara. She tries to play each side, but she's also upset at each side. She's always done this. And that's why I think people have always hated her in the house, is that she's always wishy-washy about everything. And she doesn't like, she's not definitive. She has no opinion and she just tries to fit in. And that's why everyone just hates her.
Yeah. Do you think the Chipgate was an appropriate prank, or was that a step
I thought it was a step too low. Like, well, who cares? You put chips in someone's bed. How is that a prank?
Ooh, I mean, with the, you can never get those crumbs out, and with like the bugs where they are, like I thought that was like, that was a line crossed.
They could have done a lot worse.
I mean, I still wouldn't have flipped off.
I mean, what the time when someone put a plunger on someone's pillow, that's a step too far. Putting potato chips in a bed, and not even, it's like underneath the mattress, so it's not even like you're going to be laying on them. Just like, dust
yeah,
it
but
out.
The bugs infesting your mattress counts.
So they're just,
if it's just so in the sheets,
move beds. There's people leaving every week. Just take someone else's bed.
I don't think it was worth flipping out about, obviously. Like, I think their reaction was totally ridiculous. But I just don't think it was, like, a clever prank. Like, taking the toilet seat off is a funny prank. Someone, like, sits down. It's, like, a really major hassle. Like, just putting shit where somebody sleeps is, like, not a clever or worthwhile prank. And it's so annoying to clean. Like, even the plunger on someone's pillow, I would rather that. It's, like, one pillowcase wash, done. Like, this is like a whole strip your bed, get the crumbs out. I don't want bugs coming in. Like, that to me is bad. And it's not funny. Like, there's no payoff. Like, oh, okay, nah, I have to clean this up. Thanks.
I love that Hunter took, like, the brunt of it out of nowhere. Wrong place, wrong time. Just stop talking, walk away. And boom, Amanda initially pounced on Hunter.
Hunter is terrifying. Is that just me? Like, Hunter is, like, very
scary.
He
flips a switch. I mean, he did it at the channel. We kind of touched on that about him flipping a switch and just going nuts on bananas. He did it. He could turn on the rage.
I mean, I really do think it's roid rage. Like, I'm not even, I shouldn't be saying that. I mean, I have no knowledge. This isn't real.
Allegedly,
this is a joke.
Allegedly.
Like, whatever. That's not normal. That's not a normal reaction to come at women who are like pissed off. Like, just leave them the fuck alone. You know what I mean? Like, they're asking you to get out of the room. They're not like following you. Like, no, what is it? Like, I'm not defending at all what happened between Mike and Amanda, but like, Amanda like followed him everywhere. Like, they're just asking you to leave. And he comes at them like one more time. Like, what somebody would say to someone if they were going to hit them. You think this is a prank? Like, you think that's a prank? Like, that was terrifying. And I don't know why, like, he's not getting more
shit.
He
didn't do anything like this in Aria the One, right? He was a pretty quiet, subdued guy, right?
Yeah, and he was also a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
He also had more hair.
I don't even know what that would mean.
Do you lose hair when you do steroids?
What are steroids? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, ask Wes. Did Wes lose hair as he got older? I don't know.
Maybe that was a strategy because you're, like, a redhead, so you just want to do anything to get rid of that. I like redheads. Just kidding. All right. Anything with the voting here? I mean, no real surprise, except that Sylvia sends herself in.
Screw that. And thank you. You know what? This is why we need someone to call her out on it. Thank you, Johnny Bananas, for calling it on it. Because it's such crap. What are you nominating yourself for?
You know why he's calling her
She's
out.
She's a loser.
Though. He's not calling her out for like the good of the game. He's calling her out because he wants her to stick the hell around so that when he goes against them, it's easy. That's not like a noble, like, oh, thank God we have him to call her out. Why would anyone on her own team call her out? They want her to go.
It's still just like bullcrap.
Yeah. Oh, it's whatever. Like, I do tend to agree with Bananas that like she's probably just, her head's not in the game. The worst thing is when she loses, then she's like crying that she sent herself in. Like, if you're gonna, you know, get overly confident, like, big tree fall hard.
Yeah. One regret in life. I wish I didn't throw myself in. Yeah. No shit.
Somebody tweeted, maybe it was Nicole, like, if you're gonna send yourself in, like, just send yourself home. Like, why stress it out?
Like, I mean, come on.
I really think she was just overconfident. I mean, she'll learn a big lesson here. Like, it is the stupidest thing that you can do. Mm-hmm. Basically guarantee yourself a 50-50 or in her shot, like a 75-85 chance of going home.
Very bizarre. Bad job, Sylvia. Shocking.
Did you like that the fortress was, I felt like this challenge was decorated in the style of Brad Culpepper.
Very, very well antiqued. I thought it seemed easy. I thought there'd be more to it.
It's like the curry thing. I always hesitate to say from my couch that this looked easy because they looked tired.
I mean, it seemed like the hardest thing was that it was just got in their eyes so they couldn't really see. I don't know.
I think the rope is heavy. Like, to whip a rope around like that to that circumference is, I don't think,
probably
easy.
But I think there should have been another step. Like, after each of the things, there was like a ball that falls out and then you have to, you know, shoot it in a hoop or solve a puzzle. Like, it feels like there was just like a step missing.
That's fine. I didn't mind it being short. Hmm. Maybe because the competitors, like, no surprises with the winners, so I didn't mind it making quick work of it.
This was a perfect challenge for Nelson.
Yeah, it was a short challenge. And Dario, like, really can't do anything. It was Dario, right? Not Rafi, who, like, screwed that up for them?
I think it was Dario who celebrated. Yeah, I don't know. They're the same person.
I mean, Dario, like, really can't do much. I mean, he won the first challenge, right? He won the first challenge this season, or the second. Mm-hmm. But, like, Dario's not some great competitor. Like, not that I know you shit on Nelson, but, like, Dario certainly has nothing to
here. At least, yeah, this is Nelson's second win. I mean, it's one of those just grab rope swing. Easy for him to do. So, good job by him.
I did love Darrell. I want Darrell, like, narrating every single thing. Like, Nelson has the rhythm. Your boy Dario's tripping over his own 2 feet.
Darrell doesn't have a lot of confessionals, but he's got, a high efficiency rate on his confessionals.
Also, kudos to TJ for being able to say Thai idols. Like, he can't say much, so that was a much appreciated, difficult thing to say. Titles, mm-hmm. That, you know, that can be hard. Laurel put that out on Twitter, and I was, like, dying when I watched this episode, because it was like, you have 16 Thai idols.
That didn't register for me either. That's very funny. I'm sure it took him a few...
that five times
fast.
I'm
sure it took him a few takes. Thai idols.
Tiles.
Actually, not that hard.
It sounded like your last two were Thais, bro.
I dropped the D in there.
Why would you
idols?
Oh, gotcha. I was like, what? I was thinking between Thai and idols. It's like Thai D idols. Yeah. I did think it was pretty. Two things were pretty hysterical. Just now, I'm getting to my notes on the chip stuff. That Amanda would suggest that. I mean, that Ashley would suggest that all these people were nerds in high school is very funny to me. That, like, Ashley actually has no concept of what a nerd is and will be. This is not Revenge of the Nerds. It's like the revenge of the other extremely hot people on the extremely hot people.
Yep, basically. And when you're on an MTV show, you're by definition immature, so you can't be calling other people immature. It's kind of the way the thing goes.
Also, I'm so pathetic. This is how, like, friggin' tired I am. This is why it's an achievement that I'm even showered. I have in my notes in all caps, don't get mad, get early. Instead of get even.
Hey, baby, you want to get that worm? That's how you get even. You get the worm.
This was like a Brianism.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Out of the clouds.
That's a thing.
You have not been able, not one person, as one
yes,
person told
one
you
person
it's a thing.
One person tweeted to me, it was a thing, so that means it's a thing.
Please tag
right,
me
I'll
in that.
It up.
But, like, when you say something I do is not a thing, like, 50 people flood us. When one person said it was a thing, probably just not also, like, was it your brother?
It wasn't Plainview Sue either.
No, I would never blame Plainview Sue for that.
Oh, man. You have a stronger following. You're also probably more right, but that's beside the point.
Pull that clip out so I can make it in my ringtone. You're probably more right. I have a question based off of Cara Maria's being so into herself. She tweeted another prime tweet that you didn't get to see. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'll have to create a new account just to follow Cara.
Somebody tweeted her like, you're amazing. You look so good this season. Yeah. And she wrote like, thanks. It's a new workout called Carrying the Show. It's a heavy load with all these underdogs fucking it up.
Get
face.
Lost. Just take a compliment, you loser.
I mean, she is taking
no she's not she's making she take she somehow took a compliment and made it more about her.
Yeah, she's taking it too far.
Just say thanks and give a little like kissy face or whatever and be done with it, or just don't respond and just like it like a normal human.
I mean, the fact that Cara thinks she's carrying the show, it just like blasphemous. Yeah, I just don't know what she's seeing that we're not seeing.
We really need like a lot of the old school people to come on and just start making fun of her again to kind of like break her back down. Like, she's getting a little too high up on her horse. Wes needs to get the Coke bottle out again. Let's go.
I mean, she had like a cute little scene where she was making all the chip like puns, but like that's not, you know, a chip pun does not the show make. Yeah,
I mean, I used it for the little intro for the question thread. So, but to be fair, that was the only line I could remember from the show when I was doing it. Like, I couldn't think of anything else.
Speaking of not being able to think of anything else, that's all I have.
A couple questions. Espedaz would say, will Dario actually be back, or is this the end for him? And kind of same for Sylvia. PJ Goggin asks similar question about Sylvia.
All right, so yeah, what is it eulogy on Dario and Sylvia?
I think they're easy.
I think they're pretty easy to bring back or not bring back. Like, Dario's dating Ashley now. That could really lead to something, you know. Just given just someone a reason to come back, I could see Dario back. I don't know that I ever need to see him again. I feel like we've gotten when he was running the show, we've gotten when he's on the bottom, we've gotten now this season when he was in a relationship. Like, what else can he really bring? Sylvia, I would say we're more likely to see back because I feel like she did have an underdog story. She rose to the occasion. She made a boneheaded move to send herself home. I feel like they probably like Sylvia.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a Sylvia 2.0, unfortunately. Dario, if he comes back, fine. If he doesn't, I think we got the full Dario experience. They should just bring Rafi back and not say that and just say it's Dario and just see what happens.
You do a Big Brother twin twist where they switch throughout the show. I mean, with Sylvia, I will say, I feel like Dario never lived up to how much I liked him on Are You the One, if I remember correctly. Like, I feel like we never really got Dario being himself. I don't know. Like, we didn't really get much of, like, fun Dario. But whatever. That's not worth bringing him back, like, a millionth time to try to get him to have a personality again. But with Sylvia, I was totally out on her coming on the show. And now I would just be neutral about her coming back. Like, I will say she triumphed in my eyes as somebody I wouldn't be actively upset if they came back.
I mean, look, her winning two eliminations was pretty impressive. So, I mean, I guess beating LaToya wasn't that great, but it's still winning. And beating Kayla was kind of cool. So, I mean, I'm not a Sylvia fan by any means, but I mean, if she comes back, I my guess is she'll come back. I mean, they need to kind of cultivate some new female talent, so.
Yeah. Are there any other questions?
I mean, there's something about the previews about Amanda getting into it with Laurel and Camilla, if you want to touch on that, but we don't need to talk on previews.
Who Steve asked that question? Oh, I just dropped everything, including my life. Yeah, Amanda tweeted something like, oh, we're going to have to get security next week. Like, watch out, bitches. Like, something like that, if I'm paraphrasing. I'm just like, when are we seeing Nicole and Laurel?
It looks like it's starting next week.
They did that last week, though. We saw the exact same preview.
It's shocking. MTV is duping us with previews.
So when will
I hope next week. I mean, if it keeps waiting, it's like, all right, well, then they're both not going home. So better start next week. I mean, it has to start next week because either Laurel, I guess not necessarily, but either Laurel or Kara will be in elimination next week. So they better do it next week, otherwise we know who wins.
Great point. It definitely has happened before where that's been spoiled, but you're probably right. We'll probably guarantee to get it next week. I look forward to you putting that poll up.
And I just found the tweet. I tagged you in it. So boom for that.
Beautiful.
And that's it.
Actually, you know what? Let's investigate this on air. We have a second.
What, the tweet?
Because I don't believe this. Yeah, I'm going to question
it's
this.
There.
I'm with you on out of the flip. I'm with you. Okay, Stelly. I'm definitely with you on out of the clouds. Definitely a phrase commonly used. Now, my only question is if you Google it, it returns zero results.
There's no such thing as Googling something to zero results.
In the context that you used it. Like, zero relevant results.
If you type.
I've done this. I did this after. It's a movie.
Yeah, I saw that too.
But it's not a phrase.
It's a song also.
Get your head out of the clouds. That is a phrase. But it's not out of the clouds something happened.
All right.
Like out of the blue is the phrase. It's certainly not a phrase, Stelly. I will award you no points as I started the show, and may God have mercy on your soul.
And with that, you can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challengeitunes. You can follow me at...
Wait, remember when I opened the show by saying I won't heckle the listeners?
You're heckling me.
No, I just heckled Stelly. Well,
he's in my pack. He's a Cohen fan.
You don't have to choose between us. Don't let Brian listen to you. I hate that shit with RJ.
It's challenge choice.
No, Brian, it's not a road you want to go
I
down.
Know, I'm gonna, I,
cause I'll cry to you.
Massively.
No, because when people shit on me, I'll just quit the
I'll
show.
I'll lose massively, and I'll just be in a room talking to myself, and I'll just have to start imitating you to fill the void. So you can follow me at @ColinBryan_. Follow you at @LastSweets. Next week is episode 8 or 9, whatever. R8, they're 9. Until then, have a...
Ooh. Actually, I think it's R7. I wrote 8 in the thing.
No, this is
R7.
But they're 8. Next week is R8, they're 9.
Oh, yeah. Understood. Okay, right. Bye.
Have a good one.